And I expected they did predict horrendous rain, didn't they? I think it came last night instead. So welcome to us all, welcome to everyone here this morning, to our Holy Communion service as well, and to Stephen, who is leading our service today. Now, as you know, we've got a bring and share lunch advance, so this is going to be our plan of campaign. The committee have thought about it, and we think this will work. So we're going to have coffee as usual after church, in the coffee lounge or wherever you feel free, and then about 12:15 we'll have had a chance to take the plastic covers off everything and lay the food out, and we will announce lunch is served. And if you'd like to walk on down to the far end of the corridor to the minister's door and go in and come back up rooms 1 and 2, you'll see the plates, the savouries and the puddings, and a water station under the hatch where you can get yourself a glass of water. So that's what we're going to do, and then come back into church or the foyer, because we're going to put some more tables and chairs at the back of church for the overflow as well. So all are welcome to stay. Even if you haven't brought anything, don't worry about it. Believe me, loaves and fishes come into it. We'll have plenty of food. Don't worry about that. Now, you will notice, and we're having to explain this, that there are paper cups and paper plates and serviettes. We are an eco-friendly church, and we're striving to become gold people even, but these were in the cupboard. They were bought before we became an eco-friendly church, so we have to use them. So it's a wise investment, because the treasurer would like us to make sure the money went to good advantage. So we're using the eco plate, the plastic plates, bearing in mind that we won't have to put the dishwasher on, or have washing up powder, or liquid, or electricity. And best of all, we have some more room in the cupboard to put some more stuff that we desperately need to store. So please don't throw brickbats at us for not being eco-friendly. This has got an ulterior motive for us striving for our goal. Epiphany have got a concert here tonight, you will have read, so we have to leave the church tickety-boo for them. So help at the end will be wonderful when we've all finished eating and we're clearing up and we've got rid of no washing up, because it's all going to go in a dustbin. We'll leave the place nice and tidy for their concert tonight.
There's no such thing as a free lunch, folks.
I'm sorry if that sounds a bit managerial, but if we don't explain it now, there's utter confusion. And one thing I absolutely hate is utter confusion. I'm sorry. So, having done all the housekeeping, it's now my great pleasure to welcome Stephen to lead us in this very special service today. And I'd ask that myself included, who've been a bit stressed by all of this, we prepare ourselves for worship, just go and come here for the right reason, to do the right thing. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Judith. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's good to be here with you. I'm sure that God doesn't want us to be stressed about worshipping him, so it's great to be here with you all, to share with you in worship, worshipping God, our Saviour. And so we're going to start by singing together, "Ye servants of God, your master proclaim." And hello to Muddy Church. Is it Muddy Church today?
Not
muddied yet, yeah, but will be soon. It's wet out there. So we sing together, "Ye servants of God, your master proclaim."
Salvation to God.
sits on the throne. Let all cry aloud and honor the Son. The praises of Jesus the angels proclaim. Fall down on their faces and worship the Lamb. Then let us adore and give Him His right. All glory and power, all wisdom. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in awe and wonder, adoring your holy name. You are the creator of all things, the giver of life and the sustainer of our souls. We praise you for your infinite wisdom, your boundless love, and your unending grace. We adore you for the way you transform the ordinary into the extraordinary, the mundane into the miraculous. You are the God of wonders, and we worship you with all of our hearts. Yet, as we are in your presence, we are also aware of our shortcomings and our sins. We confess that we have often doubted your power and your goodness. We have relied on our own strength instead of trusting in your provision. We have sought fulfillment in worldly things rather than in your presence. Forgive us, Lord, for our lack of faith and our disobedience. Cleanse us from our sins and renew our hearts. Just as Jesus transformed water into wine, we ask you transform our lives. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may live in a way that honors and glorifies you. We thank you for your mercy and grace, and we trust in your promise to make all things new. May our lives be a reflection of your love and a testimony to your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So now we stand as you are able and sing, "Here is love vast as the ocean."
As the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who is love will not remember, who can cease to to sing his praise. He can never be forgotten throughout eternal days. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide, through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide.
So now we're going to hear our reading, which is from John's Gospel, and it's chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And this is, the first of Jesus' miraculous signs, as John puts it, that John relates to, or the first one in John's Gospel, anyway.
Our first lesson is from St. John's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning to read at the first verse. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Now, water into wine. Incidentally, as I'm talking to you about this, there will be pictures that come up onto the screen, some ways illustrating some of the points I'm making, or the titles or the subtitles. take or leave it as you wish. Now, it's very un-Methodist, this. Who likes wine? Come on, let's confess. Right? Who likes wine? Good, yeah. Yeah, I know there's some real wine connoisseurs around here. Now, this is an interesting story, isn't it? Obviously, Jesus wasn't a Victorian Methodist. Otherwise, he would have been turning wine into water. But it's an interesting story. And as I said, it's the first sign or wonder in John's Gospel. There's seven of them in John's Gospel. And in some ways as well, there's all these signs and wonders are also parallel with the seven I am sayings that Jesus says in the Gospel. But I won't go on to those. You'll be glad to know. Not yet, anyway. But these signs and wonders that Jesus does in John's Gospel, and they're not, you know, they're not totally all the miracles that Jesus does, as John admits at the end of the Gospel. But these signs and wonders show or demonstrate who Jesus is and aspects of his ministry. And this one in particular, the water into wine, shows the superabundant provision of God and the transforming power of Jesus. Next one, please. Haven't you? Oh, that's interesting. I thought I'd sent them through. I'm having problems fixing things on. Never mind. You won't have slides. You just have that. I'll just have to paint you a picture. Okay, so who is this Jesus? Well, he's a central character in this story. And initially, notice, he's reticent to help because it might reveal who he is too soon. But he does so out of compassion for the couple whose wedding would be ruined by the wine running out. But also, when this miracle, this sign, this wonder happens, John encourages us or challenges us with a question: who is this man? Who is this Jesus? And this miracle, as John states, helps the disciples to believe in Jesus, to be someone of God. And later in the Gospel, Jesus refers to himself as the vine. So, who is Jesus to you? John asks. Who is Jesus to you? Let's think about the story a bit more. Now, has there ever been a time when you have been embarrassed, or you've committed a social faux pas, or you embarrass your children? I'm quite an expert at that one. My granddad has a wonderful, had a wonderful story. My granddad used to be quite high up in ICI. And they would have these meals, these big meals. And they would have a speaker. And it'd be a quite formal affair. And they would have, the speaker giving a toast as well after their speech. Well, the meal went very well, apart from the fact that the wine waiter was quite amiss and hadn't topped up the wine glass of the guest, and so his wine glass was empty. And so the man stood up and he gave this speech to the assembled crowd. And then he said, right, and now we come to the toast. And he lifted up his empty wine glass and he said, to absent friends, and that includes the wine waiter. Now, that would have been embarrassing for the wine waiter and the catering company. But actually, it was more of a social misdemeanor, so to say, that the wine had run out at this wedding feast. That was not meant to happen. Now, we're not told whether it was because they had provided too little wine or whether the guests were drinking too much, too fast. But the wine was running out. And this would be talked about for years. Oh, you know so-and-so's wedding? Oh, dear. Oh, yes, that's the one where their wine ran out. Very poor. They were facing a disastrous situation. And Mary, Jesus' mother, notices this. And she sort of pointed out to Jesus, have you noticed, you know, sometimes how mothers do this sort of thing? They sort of point out the situation and then they let you reply the way they want you to. And Mary goes up to Jesus and says, oh, the wine's running out, Jesus. Obviously, she knows something about Jesus. And Jesus says, oh, Mum, do you have to do this to me? But, look, I can't do this. Otherwise, it's going to show me up too soon. But Mary, being an all-knowing mother, goes to the servants, says, do what he tells you. He's my son. And Jesus tells the servants to fill up these empty water jars, draw some of the water off, and take it to the master of the banquet. Well, you could imagine the servant's reaction. Oh, right, there goes my job, or there goes my head. But it's amazing the transforming power of Jesus. Now, being a former scientist, no, I'm always a scientist, but being a scientist before I was a minister, I'm always amazed at the transforming power of nature. And one of the things that amazes me is you can get this lump of coal and it can be turned into a diamond. You need a lot of pressure, a lot of heat, and a lot of time. but coal into a, well, a dirty rock into quite a beautiful gem. And Jesus transforms a disastrous situation. He transforms water into wine. We don't know when it is transformed. We just know that when the servants take the wine, water to the master, it's changed into wine. And it's not just any wine, you know. It's M&S wine. Other stores are available. The quality, it's the best wine. To such an extent that the master of the banquet comments on it. "Why have you left the best stuff till last?" he says. Not only is it the quality, but also the quantity. These stone jars, as was mentioned, they contain 20 to 30 litres. No, actually, 20 to 30 gallons of wine. Now, 6 times 20, 6 times 30, you're talking about 120 to 180 gallons of wine. Or metric-wise, about 820 litres. So 820 bottles of wine. Whoa, that's huge, isn't it? I think that's more than, that should do the wedding lot. Yes, superabundant, overflowing of God's provision through Jesus. Jesus turns the ordinary cleaning water into lovely wine. A disastrous situation into an opportunity to demonstrate God's generous provision and grace. And Jesus has the power to transform everything. He can transform sickness and brokenness to health and wholeness, hopelessness to hope, despair to joy, even death to life. Jesus has this superabundant love in store for all, and especially for those who believe in him. But Jesus, water and wine isn't just the thing, just the only things Jesus transformed. He transforms us. Jesus, notice that Jesus uses what is given. He involves the servants to fill up the water jars. He uses the water provided. And he gets the servants to take the transformed water, which is now wine, to the banquet master. Now, Jesus had the power to do all that himself. Simply form the jar water and transform the water. Why involve others? Why involve the servants? Perhaps, possibly, it might be that so that they were witnesses. But maybe also he takes what is there and involves people in his mission. Now, Jesus can come into our ordinary lives. Or even sometimes we feel like our failing lives and transform them, giving us forgiveness for the past and hope for the present and future. And each of us may feel as though we have little or nothing to offer. But actually, if we offer that to Jesus, he can transform what we have into amazing things for his kingdom. In another gospel, Jesus mentions that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And he goes on to encourage the disciples to pray for more workers. The mission that God calls our church to is that of making more disciples. And sometimes it seems too big a task, facing what the world is going through, that we have too little to offer. But actually, God will take what we offer. And in fact, God will give us what is needed in our mission for him and transform it into something amazing. So what is required of us? What is required of each one of us? Well, I think one thing is that of faith and commitment. But faith primarily. Think about it. It's the faith of Mary in Jesus when she says to the servants, "Do what he says." Then the faith of the servants who fill the jars with water, and then they take some of that to the master of the banquet. But also, then, the faith of the disciples who have seen what Jesus does and come to believe in him. And then there's that commitment to follow Christ and to serve him. So, perhaps as you uncork that bottle of wine, or share, or have that glass of wine, or even as we share in the wine of our communion today, offer up what you have to Jesus and let him transform it. Transform it into the amazing wine of his kingdom. Amen. We sing together, "Take my life and let it be."
Take
Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude and praise. We thank you for your boundless love and the miracles you perform in our lives. And we are reminded of the miracle at the wedding in Cana, where Jesus turned water into wine, revealing his divine power and compassion. Lord, we lift up to you those who are in need of your miraculous touch today. Just as you transform the ordinary into extraordinary, we ask that you transform the lives of those who are struggling. For those who are facing illness, we pray for your healing power to restore their health and bring them comfort. For those who are burdened with worries and anxieties, we ask for your peace that surpasses all understanding to fill their hearts and minds. We pray for families and relationships that are strained or broken. May your love and grace bring reconciliation and healing. We pray for those who are experiencing financial difficulties, that you would provide for their needs and bless them with opportunities and resources. And Lord, we also lift up our communities and nations. We pray for the wisdom and guidance for our leaders, that they may govern with justice and compassion. We ask for your protection over those who are vulnerable and marginalized, and for your strength and courage for those who are working tirelessly to bring about positive change. And Lord, we pray for this, your church, We pray for the churches in the Macclesfield circuit. For the ministers and the preachers and the leaders and workers of the churches. We pray for the church here at Poynton and for the Methodist Families Together Church. That you guide us in our mission. That you show us the opportunities to proclaim your kingdom and give us the strength and the courage to do so. And as we remember the miracle of water to wine, we are reminded of your abundant provision and your desire to bring joy and celebration into our lives. May we always trust in your goodness and rely on your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And a prayer, an offertory prayer. Lord God, you give us so much. And we pray that you receive the gifts of money, but also receive the gifts of our lives and use them in your service and for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we sing together, "Will you come and follow me if I but call your name?"
You
to reshape the world around. Through my sight and touch and sound, in you and you in me. Lord, your summons echoes through the globe with all my name. Let me turn and follow you.
Please be seated. Now, hopefully, we've got the words. Have we? Good. Okay, right. So now we're going to share together in communion, and this is the first time I've done it with the morning crowd. I did it with the afternoon last week. But it's a slightly different, so I'm reminding myself as well as reminding you, and welcome to any visitors. I'm letting you know what I think will happen. When the time comes to give communion out, I will be at the front here, and two stewards will be here on either side with the wine. And if you come down the central aisle, I will give you the bread, and then you can move on to one of the stewards, and then go back when you've had your wine. Not when you've had your wine, that sounds right. When you've drunk your wine, you can go back to your seat. Sounds like my instructions to my daughters. Anyway, so everyone is welcome to join us in communion. This is a table of grace. Jesus accepts and receives all who come to him, no matter what stage they are in their faith journey. So please do come and share. Now, I believe we have also got gluten-free bread. So if you would want gluten-free bread, well, I think it's a wafer more than anything. If you want that, please let me know as you come up. We're going to share the peace in a minute. Now, please feel free to share as you are comfortable with. Some people may shake hands, others may wave. I gather you've been waving at each other recently. But whatever, or just a friendly nod. But if you know, please feel free to do that. I will say, the peace of the Lord be with you always. And if you say, and also with you. The peace of the Lord be with you always, and also with you. Let us share the peace together. Now, the words are on the screen, and if you respond with the ones in the bold type. Meanwhile, I'll use the book because my eyesight's not that good. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy, gracious and holy Father, always and everywhere, to give you thanks. In the beginning, your Spirit swept across the face of the waters, bringing order out of beauty and beauty out of chaos. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. Though we turned away from you, your love remained steadfast, and you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Saviour of the world. At his baptism in the Jordan, he was anointed with your Spirit and revealed as your beloved Son. In the power of the Spirit, he was sent to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. Sorry, I've got the wrong one. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. If we can go on a few slides, please. And so, and so with angels and archangels and all the choirs of heaven, we join in the triumphant hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, we praise you that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Saviour Christ took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, and proclaiming his eternal sacrifice, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as we declare the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send down your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Unite us with him forever, and bring us with the whole creation to your eternal kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me shall not hunger, and those who believe in me shall never thirst. Draw near with faith.
We thank you, Lord, that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all people. Amen. So now we stand and sing together, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. May the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace, in the power of the Spirit, to live and work to God's praise and glory. Thanks be to God. Amen.